We've gathered in this place to worship the Lord. And the Sabbath is meant to let us have a time to set aside our worldly cares and all the distractions that we are necessarily involved with throughout the week, to focus our hearts and our minds upon the Lord our God. And whether we know it or not, no matter what circumstance we're going through, that is always our greatest need. Remember the scripture that says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you." And so in order to fix our mind upon the Lord, we are talking about his perfections. And this morning, the specific perfection of God that I want to speak to you about is the fact that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? It means that he has all power. Nothing is too difficult for him. He has all power, and he can expend energy. He can expend power without ever losing energy. One of the ways in which we as humans reflect God's nature is in our ability to create things, our ability to draw up a blueprint or to build a home or to compose a piece of music or to write a symphony. I can't do any of those things. I can build a house, but I can't do any of those other things. But even there, even as gifted as an artist may be, he is only imitating what he sees in creation. And it's like a sculptor can sculpt something, but he can't create the marble from which he sculpts it. A potter can mold the clay into a form that he wants it to look, but he can't create the clay. All those things depend upon the one who made those things before. And the very best we can do is imitate what God himself has done. But when we speak of God creating the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all that they contain, we confess that God created all things ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing. He formed it out of nothing. There was nothing there, and he simply spoke it into existence. And a God who has the power to speak things into existence out of nothing is a God who has limitless power. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And then we read in the Revelation of the 24 elders falling down before the throne and throwing their crowns at the feet of Christ. They say this, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." God calls things out of non-existence into existence by the sheer power of his will. That is a God of infinite and limitless power. He's not like the gods created by men, like Odin. Odin, who was Thor's father, who every few millennia has to take the Odin sleep because he's so worn out from expending energy. God is not like that. He's not like a divine power cell that loses energy and then has to be reinvigorated or has to have a power source from somewhere else to recharge his battery, as it were. God's power is an inexhaustible fountain. And that is why throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, we find him over and over again asking the rhetorical question, "Is anything too difficult for me?" So he makes a promise to Abraham. He says, "Abraham, you're 100 years old. Your wife is 90 years old and she's barren, but you're going to have a son through her." And you remember what Abraham's response to that was. He literally doubles over in laughter. And when he finally regains his composure, it's like he's saying, "Well, Lord, that's a knee slapper. Thank you. I needed to hear that. I needed a good laugh. But let Ishmael live before you." And the Lord looked at him and says, "No. No, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. Is anything too difficult for me?" We find Jesus saying something very similar. Remember, after he counseled the rich young ruler, the rich young ruler was not willing to repent of his idolatry, of his covetousness, because he loved his money and his possessions more than he loved God himself. And he goes away heavy-hearted. And Jesus says to the apostles something that astonishes them. He says, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a sewing needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they gasp and they're astonished and they say, "Who then can be saved?" Do you remember what Jesus' response was? "With men, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. The applications to you and me are enormous, and I'm only going to cover a few of them, and there's no way I could be exhaustive. But to think about a God who has all power means that, first of all, every promise that he has made to you, he is able to perform. And he will perform because he is all powerful. I can make promises to you and be very sincere in my heart. Next Thursday, I'm going to come and do such and such at your house. Well, I can have all the good intentions in my heart I want to, but I may be providentially hindered. I may get sick. I may have a stomach bug. I may have whatever that's going to keep me from doing what I intended because I'm not all powerful and I'm not sovereign. But because God is sovereign, because he is all powerful, when he makes a promise, he will bring it to pass. You can trust his covenants. You can trust every promise in his word because what he has promised to do, he will perform. And therefore, we can trust him. There's no obstacle in your life, no circumstance too difficult for him to overcome it. There's no sin in your life that's too powerful that he can't enable you to have victory over it because he's a God of limitless power. There's an old song that says, "Faith, glad faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done." And it's true in ministry as well. Hudson Taylor said that in missions, first something is hard, and next it's impossible, and third it's done. And his point was that what seems to be insurmountable, God is able to overcome. Our church is a small congregation. We don't have limitless resources. We don't have limitless people. And yet, do you realize that God is not limited by our smallness? He's not limited in any way, shape, or form by it. As a matter of fact, God is very often pleased to magnify himself more through our smallness because it proves that we didn't do it. God alone gets the glory for it because God alone did it, because he's the God of all power. And so God doesn't despise the day of small things. And I would encourage you, do you have friends and loved ones and neighbors that don't know the Lord? And you look at them and you see they have such hardness of heart. Perhaps you have children who are so incorrigible that you think to yourself, they'll never repent. They'll never bow the knee to the Lordship of Christ. They'll never put their faith in him. It just doesn't seem possible. It all seems so hopeless. Remember that what men cannot do, God can do. And so long as there is breath in your children's nostrils, there is hope that God will save them. If he can save someone as hearted as Paul, who was so intent upon destroying the church, and yet he melts like a heart, his heart melts like wax before the flame of God's sovereign power. Even so, there's no case too difficult for the Lord to save them. So we can have hope in this omnipotent, all-powerful God whom we serve. Let's worship our omnipotent God this morning. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you that you are limitless in your power, that you are magnificent in all that you do. We ask your forgiveness for our lack of faith, that so often we doubt your ability to overcome obstacles and difficulties in our lives, but we thank you for your reassurance over and over again to the saints throughout the millennium that there is nothing too difficult for you. Help us to believe this with all of our heart and to live like it is true. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.